CliffCentral.com.
George Meany joins us every Friday. George, meet Phil. Phil owns a dealership. I'm sure he's done some work with you guys before at Auto Trader. He owns a dealership out in Ermelo, and they've actually given me the car to drive for the month, which is very exciting. We were talking about Buckies earlier. Are Buckies very popular in Auto Trader, George?
How's it, Gareth? How's it, Phil? Buckies are a South African thing. Bucky is a South African phenomenon. People love Buckies. I mean, the top most searched for car on Auto Trader is the Toyota Hilux. Or should I say 4x4 is the Toyota Hilux. I mean, it's behind the BMW, Mercedes, and VW, but it's up there in the top 10.
That's amazing. Well, I know you've got lots to tell us about in a moment, but you also, with Auto Trader, you guys can keep track of all the trends. I know you released your report this week, the industry report, that shows that German and Japanese car brands are still on the top of the charts in South Africa. So that's true for all your Mercedes, Phil. That's
wonderful.
Tell us, George. Give us the down, though.
BMW is still the top search for car. It takes 12% of all of the searches on Auto Trader. I mean, in the last year, we've had 401 million searches.
Sure.
And, some of those would have gone to DeWitt Motors. But 33% of the 401 million searches go to three brands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's BMW, Mercedes, and VW. So those dealers who trade in BMW, Mercedes, and VW, they get a third of the market search.
Amazing. This report is available on your website, right?
Yeah, so if you go to reports.autotrader.co.za, there is the recent one, which was released on Monday, and it's got all of the trends, all of the search history and data, price trends. We've got the retail price index in there. We've got a special COVID-19 report as well,
great,
which separates what consumers did during the COVID-19 period, as well as some commentary from Mike Mabaso, who's the NAMS CEO. So go and download it, reports.autotrader.co.za, and go and have a look at what South Africans are searching for.
All right. Well, you've got some stories for us for this morning. I thought it'd be cool if Phil hangs out with us. Tell us about this Gordon Murray dude. He's South African, right?
Yeah, so Gordon Murray is South African. He in the 60s or so designed a car for Formula One called the BT46. And this was a fan car. So if you Google the BT46, you'll see it's got this huge fan on the back, and the fan wasn't designed to propel the car. It was designed to suck the car onto the track.
Okay.
And then they outlawed it because it was just too bloody fast, I think. And it didn't become part of what Formula One does. They said that it putting artificial downforce suctions onto a car isn't what Formula One is about. And then years later now, he has released the T50, which is a supercar under 1,000 kilograms, and it has this fan concept on it, which I think is pretty awesome, because what this fan can do is switch itself on under braking, which means that you get more traction to the wheels, and you might not go sliding around in the car.
I'm looking at a picture of this T50 supercar now. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It looks unreal because of this massive fan right at the back.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it looks like the fan propels the car, but it actually doesn't. The fan really just pushes air through the ducts, which then pulls the car to the ground or creates less downforce on fast pieces of a circuit.
I shudder to think how loud this thing is. I'm assuming it is.
Oh, well, I mean, if it's a naturally aspirated car and it's a supercar, of course it's going to be loud.
Yeah. Phil, do you guys sell electric cars? I know George is massively into that.
Well, not yet, though. I mean, George will probably know this. Our first one will be the new EQC. It should have arrived now around about, I think, September, October. But with this whole COVID thing, I think production and so forth got cut. And so we'll probably get it early next year.
That's exciting. I know George is a massive fan of electric cars.
Yeah, me too.
I drove the I-Pace a couple of weeks ago, and what an amazing car. All of them are amazing, as a matter of fact. The i3, I've only driven three electric cars, but I haven't driven one that I've been disappointed in.
Hmm. Okay, well, this thing, this T50 looks like a nice one, but I guarantee you it's not available for people to just buy off the shelf, right?
No, I mean, a guy like Gordon Murray, you know, he would be almost like a niche builder of this supercar. The fact that it's built by him and designed by him doesn't mean it's in mass production. So, you know, let's see what happens with the T50. If there's demand, I suppose he may just get it built. But I've got one for you, Gareth.
Yeah.
And that is New Hampshire makes it legal to drive flying cars on the road.
All right. And you know I'm a massive fan of the idea of flying cars. I've been into this for 15 years. I've been wishing and praying because I used to be stuck on that bloody N1 highway. And I'd have this fantasy in my head that I could press a button in my car and I'd have vertical takeoff and lift. And I'd be able to go up, straight up, from where I was stuck on the highway and just buzz in the air to where I needed to be. I had this dream. And I know that Müller were making the supercar and then the Japanese were testing out their version. There were guys in Dubai who were playing with drones.
It was just giving you hope this whole way through.
Man, I'm still holding out hope. I don't want to die before the first flying car is invented.
Oh, you might outlive seeing the first flying car, which the state of New Hampshire now has been the first U.S. state to allow flying cars to drive on the road. Now, you can't take off and land on their roads, but the law says you're allowed to take off and land at the airport and then drive the flying car to your destination. Now, I've got a question to ask you. When do you think the first flying car was designed and actually built? Which year?
I think there was one built in the 90s. I'm going to say earliest bet I'm going to go for is like the late 90s.
I would have thought so as well. So I was surprised to learn that a car by the name of Curtiss Autoplane was first flown in 1917.
No, man.
Did those people make the journey and survive?
Well, the car apparently didn't manage to fly. It managed to look at the ground and get airborne, but it didn't manage to fly an extended distance. So it was the first car that was an airplane as well, called the Curtiss Autoplane, built in 1917, and it looks quite weird. It looks like a biplane if you Google it.
Okay, so it was probably a triumph to get the car in the air for like 5 seconds.
Phil, you don't have any flying cars in your dealership.
No, we're launching 2 or 3 models next year, yeah.
Okay, so great.
Thank you so much.
Because yes. Then, Phil, I mean, if you did, imagine how much quicker the trip from Ermelo to Joburg would be.
Yeah.
Just imagine, though, I mean, the danger here is that people who can't even drive on a two-dimensional road, imagine their problems in three dimensions. George, you're a pilot. It's even harder. It's adding even more responsibility. You need a pilot's license to drive a car.
I shudder to think half the drivers on the road in an airplane.
Yes. Suddenly you have height added to the other two dimensions. Scary. All right, let's talk about these cars that are named after something you can eat or drink. Is this really what people want?
Well, I don't know, or I don't know if, somebody that names these cars is sitting over a glass of whiskey or a bottle of wine, because the first car I came across that is named after something you can eat or drink was the Datsun Cherry.
Yeah. But is that actually named after a cherry?
Well, I think it's just play on words, but the next one will surprise you, the Mitsubishi Pistachio.
Okay, yeah, that's like the pistachio nut, that one I've got. But that must be a terrible car, because when they name these things, they're obviously joking, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, somebody is serious about it, because it makes it onto the back of the car. And then the Toyota Corona. Well,
it's more than just one person. It's a whole entire team that sign off on this, and they design and they market it, and they all thought it was a bloody good idea.
I just want to say that the Mitsubishi Pistachio does look like it should be called the Mitsubishi Pistachio. That is a stupid-looking car.
And the Toyota Corona after the cider Corona.
Yeah, but not after coronavirus.
Definitely not. It's, I
wonder how popular the Toyota Corona is now. Oh, I love that. Hang on, I'm looking it up as we speak. Just let me look.
Yeah, you're right. That pistachio.
Oh, gee. Listen, you want to see a boring-looking car? Look at the Toyota Corona. Ugh.
It's the predecessor to the Toyota Corolla. So, and then lastly, the Suzuki Cappuccino.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yep, the Suzuki Cappuccino. Have you had any strange cars in DeWitt, Phil?
Not so much as the Cappuccino, no. Oh, so
this is also a shitty little car, this Cappuccino.
Oh, the Cappuccino looks cute.
Yeah, as I said, Sia likes it, so it's obviously a shitty little car.
No, if I was alive in the 70s, you know, that was a house.
It looks like, you know what the Cappuccino looks like, the Suzuki Cappuccino? It looks like what a Russian would think a sports car should look like. A Russian with no money.
Ah, you've got not to be scared.
That's a horrible thing. What's that famous Russian car that everybody, the Lada, right?
Lada, not a Lada.
Oh, my God, what a horrible car. That's got to be in the museum of every great car museum. It's got to be there as an example of the what happens when government gets involved in engineering.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, Russians and cars.
No, not good. Russians and cars, Russians and airlines, none of that stuff ends well, right?
I can tell you're trying to save them, George, but there really are no words to defend them.
Not at all.
I've got a couple of Russian friends, so I've got to be careful what I say here.
Oh, and you know they can gang up on you.
Yeah, you live on the East Rand. You're in big trouble if you say something horrible about the Russians. All right, let's talk about this guy who bought a Porsche with a fake check that he printed at home. This is clever. This is ingenuity, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
But what I can't understand about the story, Gareth, is how in the 21st century you still use a check.
No.
Has anybody bought a car from you recently, Phil, with a check?
Yeah. Well, last time was probably in the 80s. I mean, I can't remember it. I mean, it's... I mean, I don't know. It's so stupid to accept a check these days. I mean, it's red lights fraud immediately. So,
but in America they do. Hey, they don't believe in EFTs. They still write checks.
Yes,
it's the weirdest thing.
Was this happened in South Africa though, or what? The Porsche thing?
No. So this particular story happened in the state of Sia, Florida.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course.
I'm just not surprised.
Guys,
I got to ask you about this quickly. I got to ask you about the car that Malusiki Gaba's wife Norma keyed. I don't know if you saw it in the news, but it was one of those Mercedes G wagons, that's a hell of a car, right? I mean, it's expensive too. What do those go for, Phil?
Yeah, around about three bar.
Okay, so it wasn't Malusi's car. He borrowed it from a friend. You know, if you're a former finance minister and you have to borrow a car from a friend, obviously things are not going so well. But this is a hell of a car, and it was black, which is a great color for a car like that. And this Norma Gigaba. Sia, do you want to explain what's in the video? Because I can't even find the words to explain how badly. She couldn't have used a key. It must have been something much more devastating.
Yeah, it looks like she used, allegedly, let's say that, allegedly, something very sharp and very thick, because now the way it was scratched, you see that silver of the original parts of the car, and this is all around, all over the body of the car. Yep. The mirrors were also crashed out of place, so you wonder, you know, is it even something that you can repair back into its original shape and form?
Well, a 3 million rand car, it's not something you want to repair.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's not, you're not going to get by the insurance company with a hail damage claim, right? They're not going to buy that. And did you guys, while we're talking about these cars and things that have happened, did you see that car that drove into that restaurant in Cape Town?
The Jag.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see that, George?
No,
this woman, she apparently often goes to this restaurant in Cape Town, and she usually revs her car because she thinks she's got quite a sexy car. And this time she revved her car, but it seems like she also went down on the accelerator and forgot that she wasn't...
Yeah.
Did she do this on purpose?
Yeah, well, it seems that she didn't do it on purpose, because I don't see who would want to do this on purpose, but she drove her car basically into the front of the restaurant and up a pole, And it's very embarrassing because everybody around there was filming it with their cell phones.
Almost killed the cyclist as well.
Imagine. Mm-hmm. And let's also mention she's in her 70s.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, well.
Uh-oh, George. No, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, a shame. These cars are sophisticated, and you know, people in their 70s weren't born in the era of the technology that we have today. So you can't blame her if she kind of stepped on the wrong button. Or
are you saying she should have rather had an Oxwagon?
No, she would have been crashing into the restaurant if she had an Oxwagon. It'd be too slow.
All right, cool. Well, this has been fun. Anything else you want to throw in there, George?
Well, one last thing, Gareth, and you know, we follow Tesla and Elon Musk, and Elon Musk and his outrageous tweets, and he tweeted the other day, I'm pretty sure a lot of people have done documentaries on this, but I don't know why Elon Musk gets ripped over the coals for it. He tweeted that aliens must have built the Majestic Pyramids, and he got lambasted by Egypt, so, you know.
But apparently the Egyptian tourism minister, we spoke about this on the show yesterday, the Egyptian tourism minister actually invited him there because she's pretty social media savvy. And she said, no, come and see the pyramids. I've heard subsequently from people who I really do respect the opinion of that actually Egypt is a horrible place. And if the pyramids weren't there, no one would go there on holiday.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it's not a nice place to holiday, except for looking at those pyramids.
But, people say it's dirty and it's horrendous, but I still would love to go just to see all of that ancient monumental architecture. All right, ladies and gents, that is a wrap on a Friday morning. George Meany, thank you very much. You can find out more from George by listening here every week in the Auto Central Power Pod or to the Auto Central Show, which is on a Monday. Phil, thanks for joining us this morning, too. You can find out more about Phil, and you can find out what Phil's got on the books and on the floor of his dealership by going to his website. You can also find out by emailing him at info@dewits.co.za, and they'll be able to help you with whatever you're looking for. And Sia Sangweni, you can find out more about him by just going to cliffcentral.com.
Mm-hmm. Or asking my mother.
Or just, or WhatsApp Sia's mom, and she'll tell you all the info. That's right.
Yes. Well, Phil put some nice cars on our website, so go and check them out. I like the way you take those photographs, Phil.
Yeah,
105 vehicles on Auto Trader from Oberlo Motors.
Really? So,
Very
good.
There's a serious amount of really nice cars there.
Well, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll have a happy weekend.
CliffCentral.com.